Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of the Ola Chapters podcast, and I'm your host, Olebogang Motsanana. And this is another episode, but it's going to be a different one today. It's going to be very different, talking about something completely different. The first few episodes was just to talk about self, and just try and highlight some of the things that we need to do to reconstruct ourselves. But today, it's going to be a very different episode, but I hope it's interesting to you. You know what you have to do. Subscribe, comment, and share on all your social media platforms. The dream is still the same. We want to reach 10,000 people by December. And also, I'm also on YouTube now. Yes, you can catch me on, you can just search Ola Chapters. And all my episodes, previous episodes, and this one are going to be loaded on YouTube. So subscribe, comment, like, and share. So as it is culture, today we're going to start with what happened today on the 18th of April in history. So in 1980, Zimbabwean independence. Zimbabwe formally gained independence from British colonial rule, ending the era of white minority rule in the country. And in 1983, a suicide bombing in Beirut, a suicide bomber driving a truck loaded with explosives, attacked the U.S. Embassy in Beirut, Lebanon, killing 63 people, including 17 Americans. So all these events have had a significant historical impact, you know, from shaping the course of wars and revolutions to influence international relations and domestic politics. So yeah, today's episode is basically inspired by what's happening around the world, you know, and I'm a very inquisitive person, so I've been trying to figure out, trying to do some research on some of the things that I do not understand. So right now, today's episode is navigating geopolitics or understanding global dynamics, you know. We are going to explore the complexities of geopolitics and its impact on our world today, you know. And in this episode, we delve into the intricate web of global dynamics shaping our political landscape. So there's a lot of things that have been going on around wars erupting between countries and. So I've been trying to figure out what's going on and why is this happening. So the first thing that I'm going to do is to try and delve into geopolitics, and maybe the second the eighth episode that's going to come, or the seventh episode that's going to come after this one, it's going to be focused more into what causes those wars and whatever. So now I'm just trying to navigate geopolitics. You know, geopolitics is basically the study of relationship between geography, power, and politics. You know, it plays a very crucial role in shaping international relations, security, and economic policies, you know, like from trade wars to territorial disputes. Understanding the forces at play on the global stage is essential for navigating the complexities of our interconnected world. Because if you come to think about it, our world is interconnected. You know, some people or some countries are exporting from this country, maybe taking coal from this country, and we are exporting oil from this country. So we are all interconnected. So I'm trying to understand the relationship behind all of that, you know. Today I want to explore some key geographical issues, you know, that are shaping the world, from the rise of China as a global superpower to the ongoing conflicts in the Middle East. Each region, you know, presents its own set of challenges and opportunities that require careful analysis and strategic foresight. So hence, I went into doing research, because I don't want to just come here and blab about something that I have no idea about or that I have no knowledge of. So I did a bit of research, and it's still ongoing. There's still more that I'm going to touch on with the episodes that are going to come out after this one, you know. So basically, I'm going to start with China, and whose rapid economic growth and assertive foreign policy have positioned it as a major player on the world stage. China seeks to expand its influence through initiatives like Belt and Road Initiative, like they're doing in Africa right now, and building, helping countries with infrastructure. You know, questions that arise about its intentions and the implications for global power dynamics. Because as a person, you need to ask those questions as well. Like, why are they doing this? What are they trying to get out of it? What are they trying to achieve? And how are those countries going to pay them back? Because it's politics at the end of the day, and no one does something just because they're doing it from the goodness of their heart. They're building relationships, you know, or they might need something within that country. So the question is, what is it that they really trying to get out of these countries, or what's their intention, basically, you know? Meanwhile, in the Middle East, ongoing conflicts and geopolitical rivalries continue to destabilize the region. You know, like we know of the ongoing wars, with consequences that reverberate far beyond its borders, from the Syrian civil war to the Iran-Saudi Arabia rivalry. The complexities of the Middle Eastern geopolitics, like, they demand a nuanced analysis and diplomatic engagement. So I'm not going to get into that too much, because I feel like it's a war that has been going on for years. And at this point, I do not really know where it stems from. As I said, I'm going to do a bit of research to try and figure out the cause, you know, what caused this, and what are the impact on other countries, and what is, how is it going to impact our economic climate as the world? You know, how is this ongoing war negatively affecting the whole world? Or some people might argue there are people who are positively affected by the whole thing that's going on, which is a topic for another day. Like I said, I'm still doing research on it, so I'm trying to figure, I want to come and present it when I'm sure of my facts and I've done immense research on it. So today is just to try and, you know, discuss geopolitics, you know, how we are interconnected, the trade and export things and all of that, you know. And the relationship between Russia and the West remains a source of tension and uncertainty, you know. Because as geopolitical tensions escalate, issues such as cybersecurity, nuclear proliferation, and territorial disputes require careful diplomacy and strategic cooperation to prevent escalation into conflict. I'm trying to figure out, I've seen videos of the United States president talking about this. I've seen videos of the Russian president touching a bit on this. So I'm still trying to understand the conflict. But based on what I know thus far is the fact that NATO is trying to invade Russian borders, to put it in layman's terms, basically. So I'm trying to figure out what issues now are arising, because it's cybersecurity issues, nuclear proliferation, and territorial disputes, basically. So I understand the territorial dispute one, because it's about the border, you know. And despite these challenges, there are also opportunities for cooperation and collaboration on the global stage. You know, whether it's addressing climate change, promoting economic development, or combating transnational threats. The interconnected nature of our world necessitates multilateral approach and shared responsibilities. Because by sharing responsibilities, it's whereby we can come up with ideas to prevent this ongoing dispute, wars, and whatnot that is happening right now in the world, you know. And it's really disheartening to see that this is happening, of which now, as a person, you have to wonder by yourself that there are countries who are already going through the most, who are already suffering. Maybe it's high employment rate, it's violence, it's crime, or it's the lack of food and nutrition, and all of that. And with them suffering from those atrocities and all of that, now there's ongoing wars that could even make the situation worse than it is, you know. Right here in Africa, we have the conflict that has been going on for I don't know how many decades in the DRC, you know, and somehow it doesn't seem to come to an end. No matter how many troops are sent there to peace troops are sent there to go and make amends and to try and combat the situation and alleviate the violence and what's happening there, it seems a bit impossible for it to take off. It seems impossible for it to ever get out of this situation. This is where shared responsibilities must come. The world must come as one and just try and save countries going through the most. You know, it's clear that geopolitics is a complex and ever-evolving field that requires like constant attention and analysis. Because by understanding the forces at play and working together to address common challenges, we can build a more stable, prosperous, and peaceful world for future generations. Of which I think it's, I don't want to be naive and say that this is possible, because firstly, we must understand that human beings from different parts of the world believe in different things, have different ideologies and perspectives. And we can never see eye to eye. We can only strive to at least coexist. We can only work towards existing in peace and in our own little corners or in our own countries, because I'd be naive to believe that one day we'll have a peaceful world, because there's always rotten potatoes, you know. There's always people who will want to cause conflict and benefit from the whole conflict and whatever the case might be, you know. So building a more stable, prosperous, and peaceful world for me, or building it for future generations, maybe future generations, 100 years, 200 years from now, will be able to achieve that. But as for us, or the people in existence now, it's a bit impossible, because it's like a hard knock life of some sort. It's like everyone is trying to get to a point whereby they are well established and they don't have to worry about whatever is happening next door. You know, trying to get to a point whereby you're so secure, maybe financially, security, and whatever you need that makes you content. People are trying to get to that point so that nothing affects them. You know, and that's from a societal point of view. That's from a neighborhood point of view. You know, neighbors. You're trying to get to a point whereby you have high walls, electric fence, security. Your kids go to the best schools and everything is just flowing for you so that whatever is happening next door does not affect you. I mean, if it starts there, how is it going? It has already transcended into the world stage, whereby countries just want to have their own and not worry about what's happening in the country next door. Hence, I believe it's a bit of a stretch to say that we can, or in our lifetime, we can achieve that, whereby we build a stable and prosperous world for all and a peaceful world for all. Hence, I'll say I would be naive to think that it's possible in my lifetime, at least. I don't know about other people. Maybe I'm not really hopeless as to what's going to happen in the next coming few years. But I'm just being realistic with, based on what has been happening, based on the facts right before us, the wars that have taken place, and everything that has happened thus far, does not convince me that there will be that world peace at some point. I would say I believe that if countries were to go back and just start fixing themselves first, before we go out to interact with other countries, you know, if they agree that for us to have peace, we have to go back into our own homes, because charity begins at home. You need to come home first and fix up your mess at home before you go outside and try and fix some people's mess or whatever is going on in their lives. So that is the nature of geopolitics. We are interconnected and intertwined, basically, from trade, from the monetary system we use, and import and export. You will always need something from someone. And unfortunately, we live in a world whereby when people know that you need something from them, they use that to their advantage. Hence, a lot of people have been questioning the intentions of China by the intentions of China of building infrastructure in Africa and reopening whatever they are doing. So, because there's always a motive, there's always an intention. So it makes it easy if you know a person's intention up front and you don't have to question the motive behind the good work that they're doing. This goes to show you how horrible and evil the world is, whereby if someone is doing something good, then we'll have to question their intention. It shows you the lack of trust that is caused by maybe, let's say, from the colonialization, from everything that we've been through as Africans. You know, it makes it impossible for you to just be gullible and naive and accept everything, because we know our history, we know where we come from. And as much as some people might be doing something from the goodness of their heart, it makes it difficult for us to just be like, yeah, they're just helping us. Well, because we've been through so much. We have had our fair share of atrocities, our fair share of violence, and our fair share of just horrible things happening to people of color or black people in particular in Africa. So as much as we would like to explore geopolitics, and there will always be that thing in the back of our head that makes us question other people's intentions, you know. And like I said, I was just trying to explore with this episode, I'm just trying to explore the nature of geopolitics, how connected we are, and how geopolitics affect countries, you know, and how they affect the economy. So with that being said, there's a lot going on in the world right now, and there's a lot that we've been seeing happening around. And you can't just shy away from that, you know, because at some point it's going to affect your country, it's going to affect your life, you know. And we need to talk about such things. We need to understand them. We need to study them, you know. Because geopolitics profoundly affects economies in several ways, you know, trade and investment, because geopolitical tensions and conflicts can disrupt trade routes, leading to increased costs, delays, and uncertainty for businesses involved in international trade. You know, trade barriers, tariffs, and sanctions imposed by countries as geopolitical tools can hinder the flow of goods and services, impacting both importers and exporters. Additionally, geopolitical stability or instability influences investor confidence and investment decisions, affecting capital flow and economic growth. So this is big on, like, just with the trade and investment, with trade and investment, it's very big, because tensions and conflicts disrupt almost everything, because there could be delays. There could be tariffs and sanctions. And this is what I mean when I say that sometimes you need to sit and just try and understand how geopolitical situations or geopolitical conflicts can affect your country. Because if there are delays, say in crude oil or in whatever, gasoline or whatever your country is importing, if there are delays or if there are tariff increases or whatever, it's going to impact you. As much as you know nothing about the war or the tension between countries, it's going to affect your life at the end of the day. And these are some things that we need to accustom ourselves to. These are some of the things that we need to study, that we need to do research on, and just at least have an understanding so that you are better prepared for whatever might come your way. You know, it affects energy markets, you know, geopolitical factors heavily influence global energy markets, you know, particularly in regions rich in oil and natural gas resources. Like I just said, you know, tensions in key oil producing regions can lead to supply disruption, causing fluctuations in oil prices that affect energy dependent industries and consumer spending. Also, it affects currency markets. Geopolitical events and developments can affect currency markets, leading to fluctuations in exchange rates and currency valuations. It also affects regulatory environment. They influence policies and frameworks that govern international trade, you know. And you might be there thinking, yeah, well, that's international trade. I don't even trade internationally, blah, blah, blah. But the gas that you're using, you know, the petrol you're using, the diesel that you're using is being exported or imported from some countries whereby they could be having geopolitical tensions that affects the market or the import and export function of that country. And then it affects you, whether you say directly or indirectly, but it will affect you. So this is what we need to accustom ourselves to, you know. Then it's like overall, geopolitics has a profound impact on economies by influencing trade and investment patterns, energy markets, currency valuations, regulatory environments, and infrastructure development. Understanding and navigating geopolitical risks and opportunities are essential for businesses, policymakers, and investors to effectively manage economic challenges and capitalize on emerging opportunities in an increasingly interconnected world. So now I need us to take it back to understand that navigating geopolitical risks and opportunities are essential for businesses, meaning there's businesses in your country, policymakers, they make policies, and there's investors in your country, you know. So whether you like it or not, the tensions that arise from countries that produce oil, that produce whatever mineral they're producing, it will affect you as a person. And these are some of the things that we need to look at, that we need to talk about. And I know people get bored when you talk about such things, but these are very informative. And I'm trying as much as possible to just use simple present English so that everybody understands, so that you don't have to sit there and try and think about what I said, you know, try and think about what is he talking about. But I'm giving you information in a straightforward format, you know. I'm not trying to maybe be tricky and speak English that will throw you off. I'm just saying it in simple forms. And this is, I feel like we should be making noise about such things and trying to get as many people as possible to read up on such issues, to just try and have an understanding of what's going on in the world around them, you know, and not be, they say ignorant is bliss, but sometimes I believe ignorance is very dangerous. But anyway, in conclusion, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in. This has been one of those episodes whereby I had to do some research to try and just understand geopolitics and maybe make one person out there or two people out there understand geopolitics from my perspective. But you can do your own research. You can, you know, try and figure out things on your own and understand them from your own perspective and just understand. At least if you have an understanding, you have a way forward, you know. You need to position yourself in such a way that you are safe from whatever might happen and you just wanna, you know, have an understanding of how the world functions, how the world works, and how are these decisions made by those in power. So it has been a beautiful episode on a sunny day, the 18th of April, 2024. And this is your host, Olebogang Motsanana. You are listening to the Ola Chapters podcast. Subscribe, comment, share on your social media platform. I'm now also available on YouTube. Just search for Ola Chapters and you will find all my episodes there. Remember to comment on YouTube, to subscribe to my channel as well. We are doing this. Remember, the dream is to have about 10,000 subscribers by December. Ladies and gentlemen, you must enjoy the rest of your day and have a lovely weekend further.